The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
We talked about knowing God and the importance of knowing God and why we know God. So going down that same type of idea of illuminating Jesus or God in our life. And as we learn and as we study and as we read about the different attributes of God, we understand God more. We understand who we are and why God wants us to live a certain way. Why we are supposed to look at life in different ways. There was a survey done a while back at a church, and they asked the people to list God's qualities or his attributes in order of importance to them. The survey results came out, and the number one attribute that was most chosen was love. God's attribute of love. Then it was followed by others: wisdom, power, mercy, truth, omniscience, which is all-knowing. I'm not so sure that we should really look at attributes as which one's more important or more central to God, because they all are interconnected, because it is God himself. But since they chose that, and since I chose to bring it up, one that should have been in there, that we all should think of, but was not listed in the top six of this survey, is the attribute of holiness. And the reason that it should be in there is because in the Bible, the attribute of holiness is spoken of more than any other. When we look at who God is, the reference to God being holy is spoken of more than any other different attribute that God has been described as having. Holy is a term that primarily refers to God himself. When you say the word holy, we think of God. Billy Graham, he said, I read the Bible, and I seem to find holiness to be his supreme attribute, because it's spoken of more than any other. The problem is, I don't really think we understand what holiness really is. Thus, the people who took the survey, they really didn't understand. Their first thing is love. Of course, God is love. Of course, God is power. Of course, God is wisdom. Of course, he is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. We see all that. But I think the attribute of holiness, we need to really grasp a hold of. We need to think of that sooner about God than later. That needs to be one of the very first things when we think of God. We need to think of his holiness. We need to reclaim that as a powerful biblical truth and a biblical reality. The reality that we need to see God as he is. Sometimes I think we're too casual with our reference to God. In life, we're too casual with that. Yes, God is our Father. Yes, God is a friend to sinners, so he is my friend. But God is also God Almighty, creator of all. We think about it like this. God is all loving, but the Bible is not, in the Bible there's not a recording of the heavenly host singing loving, loving, loving. He is all powerful, yet we don't see in the Bible where it's recorded the heavenly host singing or saying powerful, powerful, powerful. But in Revelation 4:8, and also in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, we hear the cry of the heavenly host singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That is recorded. And if you want to know something about Scripture, today, if we wanted to put it something in emphasis, if we're typing it, we're going to italicize it, or we're going to underline it, or we're going to put it in quotes or something to give it emphasis. But in Scripture, you say it twice. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you. He wanted there to be emphasis on what he was going to say. It said twice to show emphasis. Here, the heavenly host didn't say it twice. They said it three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We can't understand or experience God or a spiritual revival in our lives without coming to grips with the truth of God's holiness. When we read the Bible, we're reading about a holy God, and that his holiness is stunningly beautiful. Stuff that we can't even imagine. Exodus 15:11, Moses sang, who is like you, O Lord, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. Leviticus 19:2, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Psalm 22:3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praise of Israel. Over and over and over again, we can pull out Scripture with references to God being holy. The idea of God being holy is that he's set apart, that he's pure, that he's sacred. And then in our lives, God tells us, you be holy because I'm holy. So if we're supposed to be Christ-like, if we're supposed to follow God, then you and I in our lives need to be set apart. We need to be different than the rest of the world, because we worship and we follow a God who is different than the rest of this world. Even though God created this world, sin has come into this world, and this world is fallen as far as purity goes, as far as being set apart goes. This world's just a little different than it used to be. And it's a whole lot different than the way God created it when Adam and Eve was in the garden. So we need to be set apart. We need to be different because God is holy. We need to see God as he is. He is the only being in the universe outside of creation. Think about that. Everything we see, God made. God made. We can't look at anything in nature or even in this building that God didn't make. And you can say, well, somebody made these pews. Well, God gave that somebody the ability to make it. And he gave that somebody the material to make it. Be careful saying that you are a self-made person. God made you. God is pure. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Holiness means a total absence of evil. That's why sin cannot enter into the presence of God. You can't go to heaven if you have sin that isn't forgiven. The way if I described it to a group of young ones, is I'd tell them like this. You and I have sinned. And the wages of sin is death, meaning that you and I, we can't go to heaven because heaven is life, hell is death. So we deserve death. We deserve to go to hell. But yet while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. In other words, Jesus was the only pure thing that ever walked the earth. He was sinless. And so he died for us. And then when we accept him, he wraps himself around us. So when God looks down at sinful old Wade, he doesn't see sinful old Wade. He sees Jesus wrapped around me. And that's how I can enter into heaven. Because sin can't enter into heaven. I become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. God is perfect. He's pure. He's sinless. Holy in all his being, holy in all his words, all his work, all his ways. He's perfect. You and I are not there. And never will we be there. The best way to study the holiness of God is to look or dive into the scripture and to look at the impact of God's holiness on some of the heroes of our faith. Moses had several encounters with God. Look at the first one that we really see Moses. He's out in the desert, out in the wilderness, keeping his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro's sheep, and he sees a bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. He says, I need to go check this out. And so he goes to check out this bush. And in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, as he approaches a bush, a voice cries out, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. Then God said, do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moses took off his sandals as God commanded him. Taking off his sandals was a sign of reverence. It conveyed his own unworthiness to be in the presence of God. Then Moses hid his face in the very next verse, Exodus 3:6, and Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses showed reverence and fear. He showed the attitude of unworthiness. He's unworthy not even to look at God. Perhaps the most vivid description of someone who came into the presence of God and of a holy God is found in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. Let me stop right there. Doesn't that sound just like what we said Moses did? Reverence. And with two he flew. And one cried to the other, holy, holy, holy. There again, three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by his voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with a tongue from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Isaiah went to the temple to mourn the loss of an earthly king. And he got a vision of a heavenly king. He saw God in all his glory. He saw God in all his splendor. Isaiah, stunned, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He realized who he was. And then he says, "I'm undone." He realized who he was, that I'm a sinful man and I cannot come. I'm a dead man. I cannot come in the presence of God. And the angel said, touched him with the fire. And he said, "Your sins have been forgiven." That's foreshadowing of what is to come with Jesus. So that when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he wraps himself around me and my sins have been forgiven and I can come into the presence of the Lord. And then once he atoned for his sins, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And God used Isaiah from that point on in mighty power to do God's work. In Acts chapter 9, Saul met the Lord on the road to Damascus. The holiness of the glory of God was so bright that Saul fell to the ground and was blinded. Saul's spiritual and physical eyes were opened, and his life was changed forever. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, changed by the holiness of God, by seeing God for who he really is. Paul was used by God in a mighty way after that. Paul became, God used him to write most of the New Testament, really. The first chapter of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John was given the ability to look into heaven, and he saw God sitting on his throne. God's hair was like blinding snow. His eyes were flames of fire. His voice was like the sound of many waters. His countenance was like the sun, bright. Out of his mouth came a two-edged sword. Revelation 1:17, John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." If we could just get a glimpse of God's holiness, of who God is, it'll change our lives forever. To see God, to know God. Moses realized that he was unworthy to be in the presence of a holy God. Yet we know the scripture. We know that God used Moses from that point on, when he realized who God really was. Isaiah experienced God's holiness, thought he was a dead man, received forgiveness, and willing to do anything from that point on. He said, "Here am I, send me." Saul of Tarsus experienced the holiness of God, fell to the ground, and arose to walk in the newness of life. Went from persecuting Christians to being persecuted for Christ. He was willing to go all the way, walked in newness of life after seeing Christ. John experienced God's holiness, fell at his feet as dead, and he rose to give us the greatest glimpse of the future the world has ever seen, the book of Revelation. If we'll take time to see God as he is in all his holiness, you'll realize that we can't stand in his presence. We can't stand before a holy God because I am not worthy to stand. You are not worthy to stand. But yet, that same God that we're not worthy to stand before loves us enough that yet while we were still sinners, he died for us. Because he loves us so much. So that we would be able to be forgiven. Are we looking to see who God really is? Illumination station. Shining a light on who Jesus is. I want the light of Jesus to shine on me so that I can see his holiness. So that I can understand who I'm serving, who I'm worshiping. Because I want my life to be changed. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today and we thank you so much for loving us. And Lord, I pray that we would all get a glimpse of your holiness. Because with just one glimpse, our lives would be changed forever. We'd be like Isaiah. Here I am. Lord, I'm standing right here. Just send me. Just tell me what you want me to do. With just one glimpse, we're changed. Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to make a decision today, I pray that today would be the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.